Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Brazilian jazz guitarist Plinio Fernandes. He has a brand new debut album out here in 2022, and he's quite excited about it as the COVID restrictions globally ease. He was born and raised in Sao Paulo, Brazil, studied at the Royal Academy of Music in London, where he received his master's degree. On this initial album, he combines his musical passions, the popular songs of Brazil and Latin America, and the classical tradition of Villa-Lobos, telling his captivating international story and sound. He opens up about his life in music and hopes for the future. Enjoy.
Hey, thanks for taking a minute out today.
Pleasure. Real pleasure. Thanks for that.
Absolutely. So before we get into the new album, I want to know, you know, we've been living through very strange times in the last couple of years with COVID. How have you been doing? How does it feel to kind of come out and have a new album? And how did you survive this time as an artist?
Well, it feels amazing to actually finally put the music out there, especially, as I said, during the pandemic. I was lucky enough to get the deal and to start learning the music for it and properly preparing for the album. And now that things are open again and concerts are happy and so on, it's just great to share this finally with people after about a year or so since the pandemic happened.
So talk about Sade. Let me know kind of a little bit about how you put this album together and how you felt like it came together.
So the name is Saudade, which means nostalgia, right? And it's pretty much what I've been feeling since I don't live in my homeland. So I live in London now, and I moved from Brazil here. And of course, it's my way to connect with Brazilian culture, even though being 8 years away from home, was through culture and through music. So just compiling favorite pieces and songs that got arranged specifically for the album. Yeah, it was just a wonderful moment. And yeah, it's just a compilation of my favorite music, really. I think so. Yeah, so I'm quite happy to do this in my debut album, to do such a statement.
What are you hoping the listener gets from this? Anyone that buys or downloads it, what do you want them to get from this experience?
That's a really good question. I want them to connect with Brazilian culture, but with the... Not only because it's a mix, there's a mix of things on the album, right? So there's like the Brazilian classical music side of things, which is Villa-Lobos with the preludes and the aria for the Baquianas in duet with cello. But then, those pieces were originally written for the guitar. But then showing the lyricism of the instrument through songs who were arranged specifically for that, but who were written for guitar and voice, and showing that even without the lyrics, the guitar can translate that lyricism of that music through the instrument. It shows how vocal the instrument is and how many different coloristic possibilities the instrument can offer as well.
You know, I know for musicians in the jazz realm that move from other countries to New York or, you know, even to England, you know, it's a big dream for them, but it has to be somewhat of a culture shock. What kind of adaptation or how did you kind of settle into your new home there?
Well, sort of, again, through just immersing myself in music. So I came to study at the Royal Academy of Music, which is a really international institution with people, amazing musicians from all over the world. So just diving into that and watching loads of concerts, being there, breathing the same air as, you know, a good amount of my heroes, my idols, was quite something amazing. So yeah, I mean, just watched the concerts a lot, played to as many people as I could, watched things, exchanged, and that was that's what helped me with that transition. And then, yeah, it felt very natural. London is a very welcoming place, even though the British are not really famous for being that welcoming, in a way, London has a vibrancy, and especially being at the Royal Academy of Music and so on. So
talk to me a little bit about growing up in Sao Paulo and how you got involved with music.
Yeah, sure. I mean, my father played the guitar as an amateur, so the guitar would be around the house. And so there was always a huge amount of music in our home. my mom was a huge fan of, is a huge fan of Brazilian popular music, so bossa nova, samba, jazz, and classical music, not so much, but enough to get me hooked up into the genre and to start playing the guitar and falling in love with that. But yeah, my father, yeah, both my parents, yeah, so there was a huge amount of music in the house, a lot. So yeah, just playing the first couple of notes in the instrument was really natural, and I just loved that. I was fascinated by how that made me feel in the beginning, and then until this day I have that connection with the instrument. Just, that was it, listening to a lot of music, watching concerts ever since an early age, and doing certain competitions and festivals that I would see people much older than I was playing amazingly. So I sort of went into that world very naturally, so to speak.
Right on. What was the first live show you ever saw that really blew you away?
Good question. Oh, okay. So it was my first teacher, my first guitar teacher, Eduardo Martinelli, who's now a conductor. He played, yeah, he just played a couple of pieces, of classical pieces in Brazilian virtuosistic things. And I remember to look at that and say, wow. I mean, it's unbelievable. I couldn't really understand that feeling, but I just thought, well, this is what I feel like doing. I mean, when I was like 8 years old, I couldn't really comprehend what that meant, what that feeling meant, but it just makes all sense.
You know, you get to wake up every day and create music. This is your job. This is your life. What's the greatest part about being a professional musician for you?
The discovery, the daily discovery of new things, especially people think that there's not that much creation in playing classical pieces, right? Who were already written, there's a score there, you have to somehow be faithful to what the composer wrote and so on. Every day you discover something new playing pieces, and you have to actually fall in love with those pieces because you play them over and over and over for months, right? In concerts, and you know, you have to revisit them and later in life and so on. So just the discovery and experimentation, especially with the guitar, it's just an instrument that you can experiment a lot with sound and colors, and it's a very personal instrument. I think that's what fascinates me with that.
If you could get into a time machine and go back in time and see a dream show of anybody, who would you go see?
I would think of three of them. So one, I would love to watch my idol, Julian Gray, play a concert. Probably the Wigball Hall is my favorite hall to hear guitar, especially. I'd love to have seen Ella Fitzgerald singing live, and see Michael Jackson performing in the 80s.
Right on. Years ago, when I was a kid, my dad was a car salesman, and he won tickets for us to go see the Jackson 5 in the mid-80s when they got back together at our premier stadium here in Kansas City, Arrowhead. And it was like the Beatles, man. There were girls fainting, and I remember it took forever for those guys to get on stage, but when they did, it was in that era where he had the glove, and he came up out of the ground, out of a hole, and that glove was totally lit up and sparkled everywhere, and it was like the loudest sound. It was probably like three airplanes flying over at once.
I can only imagine what that feeling would be, something real, right?
It was something else. And then, yeah, once the moonwalk happened and that whole thing, it was over with. You know, as the world wakes up, you know, same way in England as it is here in America and around the world, you know, we've been through it quite an ordeal. When live music comes back, as it is coming back now, what do you hope we all appreciate about the magic of live music?
The uniqueness of it. So, of course, live streams and all those things during the pandemic were there for a reason, and we're quite fortunate that we had that, especially in such difficult times and so on. But I think the uniqueness of that, in terms of what happens at that place, just happens there and then, and won't happen again. It doesn't matter if the musician is another set straight after, it just won't be the same. And just like the energy, that specific room or a specific hall or stadium, whatever that is happening, I think just like that presence, yeah, just happens at that very moment.
Let's say you come to Kansas City and you play a live show and you run into somebody the day before the show and they're not sure what they're going to do that night, but you need to convince them to come to your show. How would you explain your show? How would you get somebody to fill a seat?
Okay, let me see how my salesman
right.
side of things can do.
Yeah.
Well, I just would say that we try to convince them that the guitar is one of the most beautiful instruments, and that I play a mix of, especially right now when I'm playing, let's say if the concert was next week or so, I'd say that I'm just play a mix of things that I love, I think, from the Renaissance period, from 1500s, to music of this day, really. And yeah, it's showing different possibilities of the instrument. Colors, is the different colors is what make the guitar most beautiful instrument, in my opinion. And somehow just looking the person in the eye, somehow try to transmit that energy and somehow explain it and say, please come and see me. I don't think you will. I hope to deliver that, but yeah.
Yeah. Everyone has an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
Oof. I think I'm a dreamer, someone who loves music and who believes that this could actually change people and actually makes a huge impact on people's lives and emotions and perception of the world and empathy and so on and so forth. I think that dreamer who believes and who tries to actually just with the music that I make, try to move people really and connect people through that. Yeah, I think that's what I would be doing.
I like it, man. I like that answer. That's a great, triumphant way to kind of wrap it all up. Hey, man, thank you for opening up. Thanks for your time. Good luck with the album and the return to the stage.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Thanks for listening and tuning into another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Brazil, London, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Plenio for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. For everything Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com or visit JoeDomino.com, and there you can kick in a little bit via Patreon or PayPal. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.